And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. Woo! Goes from, wow, just from like Huntsville back over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden. I'm talking about all the way down to that loveliest little village on the plains called Auburn. And yes, stretching across to the beautiful Fort Benning, Georgia, Fort Benning. And then there's big old patches of North Georgia and Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. All right, text lines are open, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Text it or call it, same number for both. Before I go any further, I'm going to confirm with JP. I guess I'll confirm what we're talking out loud. The promo code ended yesterday, correct?
Correct.
All right, first of all, I want to thank all of y'all who just like went hog wild on our merchandise store. I mean, Natalie was like, she was like licking and stamping, man. She was stepping and fetching, getting all that stuff to the post office. But I know that some of y'all already got your shirts. We sold a whole bunch. I think we sold like probably half of our stock of the new flag shirts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they went flying off the shelves.
They did. Golly. And then the coffee mugs. And I tell you, the other one was we had a big order of those highball glasses.
Yep.
The bulletproof influence glasses that have the bend shot construction that have the 308 round embedded in the glass. We sold a chunk of those later in the week. So anyway, thank all of y'all. It's still there. The tariff merchandise promo code has expired. But nonetheless, the merch store is still up and running, and we'll be restocking the shelves even more sometime soon. But get your stuff while you can at rightsidemedia.org. All right, let me get some text messages. John from Huntsville says, Phil, fantastic monologue. Also, did you hear about the wild helicopter crash in the Hudson River? I did, absolutely. So by the way, JP, I watched most of the Masters. I was disappointed in the end that Justin Rose didn't prevail after that massive comeback into a sudden death playoff, and McIlroy hit some very poor shots on the back nine.
He did. He almost let it slip, but not this time. He choked too many times in the past. He had to get this one.
Wait, who was it in the final? It was McIlroy and who?
McIlroy and Rose and in the playoffs, yes.
Yeah, didn't he choked on a short
did.
Putt, didn't he?
Well, so he was leading up until Saturday and then had an awful Saturday, came back Sunday. His putt was pretty long, though. He choked the lead after the first two rounds, though. So,
well, all I know is McIlroy was humble and blown away.
Oh, I mean, that somebody had great quotes like that. That is the face of a man who had the world lifted off of his shoulders. Because for 11 years, it was, he can't win the Masters, he can't win the Masters, and the career Grand Slam hanging over his head.
Who's got the green jacket now?
Yeah, so they can all shut up now.
That's nice. That's good stuff. Jeff from Indiana says, hey, Phil, I believe the leftist faith is just as strong as yours, only they worship Satan instead of God. There you go. He said, Satan dwells in the minds of fools, and he has a very strong following in the liberal community. They don't even realize it, because I can think of nothing more that Satan would love than the acts that they do, hating Christians, hating Jews, common sense, and anything else that would make this world a better place. He says, by the way, do you think the Easter Bunny will come try to shut Trump up this year? Do you remember that last year during the Easter egg roll?
I do, yes.
The big bunny comes over. Biden is having himself a moment where he's looking a little bit glazed, and he's talking to kids, and I think he was about to get a little too familiar, and the bunny comes over and goes, Mr. President, come right over here. The Easter Bunny is like, who put the Easter Bunny in the keep him going routine?
Yeah, the Easter Bunny was trained.
I'm saying. He's a handler. The Easter Bunny was his handler,
yes,
that day.
It was just Anthony Blinken in an Easter Bunny costume.
Allie from Athens says, this was a perfect Holy Week reminder of who we are, why we are, what we are, and who has gone the way before us. He said, it will either take heat and prosper or ignore precedent and perish. Excellent monologue, sir. Thank you, my friend Allie. You have a way with words, as always. TL from Huntsville says, amen, Pastor Phil. He said, during the Biden administration, Trump said, quote, America is a nation of believers, dreamers, and strivers that is being led by a group of censors and critics and cynics. Wow. I did not recall that tweet. I mean, that quote. He said, TL says, we can celebrate this Holy Week knowing that your vote matters and that faith-based voting makes a difference. And yes, it does. And I really think, I mean, there was a lot of talk. I even pulled the study this morning looking at it. There was a lot of talk that Christians were going to sit out that last election in broad swath, like kind of scary. I even did a monologue in November about a study that said that 38% of all Christians said they were probably going to just sit this one out because they didn't know what to do because politics was not their bag. And I thought, that's galling. And you don't have to know. Here's the thing. I talk about politics in the public square. If you're a voter, if I'm not talking about just even those who run, or just as a voter, as a Christian, the point that was made in that monologue I did back last year was that when Christians vote, if they don't understand politics, that's okay. They can understand their faith. You can understand your faith and you can look and apply scripture to what you see. If you're still confused, then you can break it down to constitutional liberties, which, by the way, are very godly and scriptural and factual. And you can look at it in terms of life, limb, and property. Which candidate, if you're unsure of anything else, look at it in terms of the constitutional protections for life and liberty and property, and decide for yourself which candidate does the best job of promoting life, liberty, and property. If nothing else, if you're not sure, you can always go with that, and you're going to find your way forward.
It drove me nuts, too, in Christians, because Trump wasn't this golly, so just nice, and I don't want to offend anybody Christian. Yeah. Christians were bashing other Christians for voting for him because he was, I guess, rough around the edges and had a bad past. But look at, I look at actions more than words, and like he's pro-life, and like you said, life, liberty, and property. Like, his whole administration, you're not just voting for Trump either. His whole administration is people that pray before talking to the press. They pray before cabinet meetings. So I find it funny people voted for a party that is pro-choice and very much against Christian ideologies because Trump is rough around the edges. And, you know, that's a whole other rabbit hole. But yes, the fact that Christians were thinking about not even voting at all, it's like you have to participate in politics, I think, as a Christian. You have an obligation to. Yeah. So,
yeah. And then if you look at it, even still, I get it. Trump can be a little coarse sometimes. Mm-hmm. You wonder why he's so bombastic sometimes. Guess what? So am I.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got that locker room mentality a lot of times, mm-hmm. and I've lived in a barracks. I know what it's like to have that kind of rough humor, and I also know that there's a time and a place for it. But the reality is, you look at what we just went, and I quoted it in my monologue. Look at what we just went through. We came real close to the candidate of choice being either A, Joe Biden, who had declared Easter the day of transgender visibility, or B, Kamala Harris, who mocked a kid for yelling Jesus is Lord at her rally.
Yeah.
And was pro-abortion, both of them, super, super pro-abortion. Neither one of them good at the idea of promoting life, liberty, and property. And then you've got President Trump, who was all about helping preserve life. He's very pro-life. He's all about preserving liberties, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, all of it, the whole, you know, Bill of Rights. And then you've also got him being all about the idea of property, and I can kind of gainfully make that a little bit bigger. He's for people having an opportunity to succeed and to gain and to grow and not constantly have the government telling you what to do.
That Transgender Day of Visibility, by the way, was very intentional on Easter.
It was absolutely intentional.
Like, there is a spiritual battle going on. That's why this isn't just all politics.
And I'll go ahead and acknowledge that the argument they made when everybody began to push back on that was, it's been March 31st many years. It's always been March. It doesn't have to stay March 31st. It's not a friggin' national holiday. Mm. The president knew what he was doing when he did it. And what he could easily have said is, hey, gay crowd, if you don't mind, what I'm going to do is make you guys on Monday. Mm-hmm. All right? I really think that all I would do is draw unnecessary ire to you and to me. And by the way, I'm a practicing Catholic, so I'm going to go ahead and say Easter's Easter. You guys get to have, I don't know, April 1st, which will be April Fool's Day, so I probably didn't want to. But anyway, what I'm saying is he could have done that. You know why? Because he's the freaking president of the United States. But no, he didn't do it. And the idea that was not intentional is ridiculous.
Yeah, it 100% was.
Absolutely intentional. And I agree with you. I think it was absolutely spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
I think there is a war in the heavenlies on a regular basis, and I think that was a classic example of the manifestation of the war in the heavenlies. You can quote me on that, too, by the way. Mark from Red Bay says, and everyone thought it was Obama and Pelosi running Joe Biden. The whole time it was the Easter Bunny. Who would have thought? It was pretty crazy. Scott from Somerville says, Mark 16, 15 and 16. He's a great monologue. And then he quotes Mark 16, 15 and 16. He says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Thank you, Scott. And then I've got someone saying, don't use my name. Hang on a second. Okay, it's completely unrelated. So let me look into what you're saying, and I appreciate the text. All right, listen, let me do this. If it's time for, well, I'll tell you what. When we come back from this break, go ahead and move toward the break. I know I'm about 45 seconds earlier than usual, but when I come back from this break, I'm going to kick off by reading you the actual presidential proclamation. He posted it on his social media for all the world to see. I'll read it out loud. You tell me how you feel about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. Just a quick couple of more text messages before I jump in. Grace from Madison says, Biden's not a practicing Catholic. He's only a Christian by name. His actions speak louder than words. Well, you know, I hear that, Grace, and I agree with you to some degree, but at the same time, I'll take someone's word about their faith, but I will say, you're right, their actions are what speaks. They will know we are Christians by our love, right? There's a bit of an action involved. It does not mean I'm saved, but it certainly shows the world how they can know. Jeff from Indiana again says, come on, Phil, you know Biden had no clue about Easter and the transgender day. He was just saying what he was told to say. That is probably true. The auto pen signed the proclamation. Jeremy from Madison said, Jesus overturned the sellers' tables in the temple. An act could be considered rude and rough around the edges. The disciples were armed in the garden. The Roman ear was cut off. Yep. I've always liked Peter. I think I identified with him a lot. But I tell you who I really got to where I liked more and more was Paul, who, of course, was after the fact. But if you look at Paul, my gosh, that guy. Anyway, all right, let's do this. Let me jump on in here. First, I think it's important that we know what all I'm talking about with regards to the Trump proclamation and what is happening. So last year, we had Easter. I mean, the whole thing got so corrupted. It really does remind me of the stories in Scripture you hear about, like, the temple becoming a place where madness took place. Think about it. You look at it and go, how does a nation become so depraved that the temple is where male prostitutes hang out and the temple is where they put up pagan idols in God's temple? That's like, what? Well, I realize it's not a temple, and I'm not trying to portray the White House as a temple, but think of it as a place that is somewhat sacred in its ground, a place that has a bit of a hallowed esteem to it. And you had transgenders exposing themselves for photo ops on the grounds of the White House. You had rainbow flags being hung from the porticos. You had any number of transgender influencers skipping through the halls and filming Instagram influencer videos in the most maddening and cavalier manner, like they could care less about the decorum of our White House. And that went on a regular, that was like common practice for the longest time. For 4 years, our White House was just denigrated, like it was some kind of weird frat house. It was just unseemly. That being said, and listen, I got to say this too. I recognize it's still the place where people live and work. That doesn't matter. You live and work there on behalf of the people and voted there by the people. And to go in there and just co-opt it and trash it and, you know, and make it something that it's not meant to be, it gave me the clearest example that I've seen of the scriptures that describe the temple becoming a place of ill repute. Think about it. You look at it and go, how does a nation get... We just watched it. We just watched it happen. But Donald Trump issued a proclamation yesterday. Talk about a change. And listen, I recognize there's non-Christians out there listening to this who may take offense. I don't care. Guess what? I'm sorry for you. And there's a cure for that too, by the way. You can have what I have. You can. Any one of you out there who's offended by the idea that I'm happy over the fact, or that millions of Americans are happy over the fact that the White House is back into a place of not only decorum, but of honoring the faith that our country was built on. And don't try and tell me it wasn't, because it was. If you're offended by that, the solution is give it a try. Consider it. Is it something for you? Maybe you might want to wonder why we're so happy. What is it that gives Christians that peace that surpasses all understanding that it talks about in Philippians 4? Why do we find joy when it makes no sense to have joy? It's not because of us. It's because of what we have. Donald Trump issued a proclamation yesterday. This is straight off of his social media. I hold it in my formerly calloused paratrooper hands. He says this, and I'm going to read the whole thing. He says, "This Holy Week, Christians around the world remember the crucifixion of God's only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and on Easter Sunday, we celebrate His glorious resurrection and proclaim, as Christians have done for nearly 2,000 years, He is risen. Through the pain and sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, we saw God's boundless love and devotion to all humanity, and in that moment of His resurrection, history was forever changed with the promise of everlasting life. As we approach this joyous Easter Sunday, I want to wish Christians everywhere a happy and very blessed holiday. America is a nation of believers. We need God. We want God. And with His help, we will make our nation stronger, safer, greater, more prosperous, and more united than ever before. Thank you, and happy Easter, Donald J. Trump." Wow. Y'all, listen. The fact that he can proclaim Jesus is Lord tells me pretty much everything I need to know. It doesn't say, "Hey, by the way, I'm perfect and I worship God." He doesn't say that because he's not. And you know what? He's humble enough to know that. But the reality is, you just saw a massive sea change. You just saw a massive, massive sea change. We went from watching our White House be the place of ill repute, like the temple of old, to being the place where they came in, overturned the money changers' tables, and put things back aright. And, you know, when Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord," basically what Trump did said is, "As for me and this White House, we will serve the Lord." Now, there was a free will in there. In that same passage, Joshua 24, verse 15, Joshua gave the people a choice. He said, "Worship that which you believe is best in your own eyes. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." That's exactly what Trump's doing. He's not saying, "You got to believe like I believe." He's just saying to all Christians everywhere, "Happy Easter. Jesus is Lord."
And I'll just say, too, to the people who are the freedom of religion or freedom from religion crowd that want to act like our nation wasn't built on that. I mean, what's that famous portrait of George Washington kneeling and praying in the forest before battle?
Yeah.
Like, our founding fathers were thoroughbred Christians, and the freedom of religion, you know, the separation of church and state or whatever, was to keep from imposing different Christian denominations. So it's not like it was freedom from Christianity. It was the other way around.
Yeah.
So it's a going back to our roots as America.
Perfect. Yeah. The establishment of religion is a whole lot different than just allowing it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We got more. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two already. Where'd hour number one go? What just happened? What did you do with my first hour, JP?
I don't know, but you talk about something powerful like we did, it goes by.
Well, I'm still on it, brother. So let me do this. By the way, I just feel like I think we need to. There's right now, there are people out there who are hearing that Trump declared this will actually be a holy week at the White House, who are themselves becoming panickins. I'm sorry, I needed that.
I didn't have it queued up and ready. You caught me by surprise.
All right, so I got a piece here from Politico. Phil, did you go to Politico? I did. I go to these places, so you don't have to. Holy Week. Yeah. This is last year. March 30th of 2024. Politico, in defense of the Biden administration, sends out its response to the ire of the Christian world for daring to question why Easter should not also be Transgender Visibility Day. The headline was, Sunday marks both Easter and the Transgender Day of Visibility, cue the culture war. Okay. Let me ask you this first of all. Why do we need a Transgender Day of Visibility?
I don't know. Apparently,
what the frick is that?
Apparently they're invisible, so they need a visibility day, I guess.
Well, they've been pretty visible the last 4 years.
they've been overly visible.
It's hard to miss all the RuPaul wannabes.
Yeah,
that do Story Hour and the people that expose themselves for their Instagram accounts on the White House lawn and just the madness.
Shirtless transgender girls on the White House lawn too.
What?
On that same day you're talking about, there were shirtless transgender girls.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. They're just transgenders.
Yeah.
They're dudes.
Mm-hmm.
Dudes with breasts. That's all they were. Ugh. Anyway, Sunday marks both Easter and the Transgender Day of Visibility, the holiday nobody asked for. The culture wars have reached Easter, said Politico back then. President Joe Biden on Friday issued a proclamation recognizing March 31st as the Transgender Day of Visibility, just as he has every day since he's been in office. You can hear the whine as they're writing it. Everybody always does it, man. I don't know what the problem is. Why has everybody got a beef with this? Anyway, conservatives responded furiously, accusing the president, who is Catholic, of attempting to stifle Christian values. Yeah? What's your point? By highlighting the event during an important religious holiday. He knew exactly what... Yeah, I got news. Would he have done it during Ramadan? No, he would not. By the way, they've already got... I'm going to find it during the next break. They've already got... Now that I say this, I better do it during the next break. But
I can look it up right now if you want me to.
Well, how many different LGBTQ days of recognition there are? There's an entire Pride Month. There's a Transgender Day of Visibility. And it goes on and on and on. House leadership voiced their outrage, as did the Trump campaign, demanding an apology from the White House. The White House pushed back, saying that, quote, as a Christian who celebrates Easter with his family, President Biden stands for bringing people together and upholding the dignity and freedoms of every American. No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. Let me make a point. You do not lift up one group by watering them down so that another group feels like they got something from that group. That's not the way it works. You're not lifting people up by tearing down what they believe in. You're not lifting people up and declaring you're upholding the dignity and freedoms of every American by denigrating one or making them feel slighted at the very least, so that you can raise up the other one who is in direct contravention to the thing that the other group believes. You know what? Here's the deal. Joe Biden and all of his minions who worked in that White House, all the activists who had access to the White House auto pen, you had 365 days to choose from. There was nothing that mandated, there was no lunar schedule that required that the Transgender Day of Acceptance last year had to be on the same day as Easter. Easter, by the way, had thousands and thousands of years of the day in which it will fall. Transgender Day of Visibility is brand spanking new, and you knew exactly what you're doing. Here's a quote for you. It is common, said Politico, it is common for there to be multiple proclamations for the same date. Easter Sunday will also be Cesar Chavez Day. Who the frick? Cesar Chavez Day? That didn't even make the headlines. Well, why are they? Politico is such a waste of time sometimes. Anyway, White House spokesperson Andrew Bates back then added, quote, it's unsurprising that politicians are seeking to divide and weaken our country with cruel, hateful, and dishonest rhetoric. President Biden will never abuse his faith for political purposes or for profit. What is he talking about? What political purposes? Well, I got news. The only thing you did was politics. That's why you had a Transgender Day of Visibility. You were virtue signaling your left-wing politics. And then the for-profit thing, I don't even know. Who knows? Of course, the Human Rights Campaign pushed back. Of course they did. That's their thing. That's how they make. There's their for-profit. A prominent LGBTQ plus civil rights group, the Human Rights Campaign, pushed back in a post to X saying, not only would Trump's policies drag us back in time, apparently he doesn't know how the calendar works. I don't know what that means. I have no idea. Did you find it?
So there are 35 plus LGBTQ plus awareness days and weeks observed throughout the year.
35?
35 plus at least is what this says.
Read off a few of them.
Okay, so February, there's Aromantic Spectrum Awareness Week.
Oh, stop.
March 31st, Transgender Day of Visibility, and Bisexual Health Awareness Month is March. April is International Asexuality Day, April 6th, and International Lesbian Visibility Day is April 26th. May, you got International Day Against Homophobia, Biphobia, Transphobia, May 17th. May 19th, Agender Pride Day. Shall I continue?
Seems like is it wearing you out already?
It seems like there's one in there. It's a long list here. Yeah. Pansexual Panromantic Visibility Day, May 24th.
Pansexual Panromantic Day.
Yeah. Pride Month, June, obviously. So
here's an idea. Why don't we just make them visible all on one day? I mean, have you seen how long the LGBTQ acronym is now?
It's infinite, because they even claim there may be more out there.
That's
we haven't discovered
yet. That's why there's a plus sign on the end, because just in case you find a new one.
Yes. Even if there's one out there that they aren't aware of.
Okay. I get the point. So 35 plus. Where'd you find that? What was the source?
This is the AI overview on Google, so it pulled from a bunch of different sources.
Woof.
Yeah.
Townhall.com has a piece that came out yesterday afternoon. Townhall.com. Back to the world of like conservatism here. Townhall.com says the single most pivotal moment in human history. By the way, I will agree with that. Regardless of whether or not you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you cannot deny that he existed historically. So let me break that down. Here's an apologetic for you, which is just a fancy way of saying an explanation that defends. All right. It does not matter whether you believe the faith aspects of Jesus' existence. The fact is he existed. That's historical. It is not just the Bible that talks about Jesus. There are Greek and Roman texts. There are archaeological digs. There are any number of things that are both cultural, political, historical, that relate back to his time that conclude that he existed. He was real. He walked the earth. He lived and he died. It is known. That being said, now you just have to decide what you're going to do with it. He existed. You must decide what you make of his existence. Now, having said that, you cannot deny that the life and times of Jesus Christ were the pivotal change in human history. It is a place from which we began to measure time. It is a place that established the church and created an entire sea change in cultures. It literally took whole sections of the world and transformed them. It became the thing that was the driving force in any number of things, both good and bad, on epic national, transnational scale. Jesus existed. He just did. And his existence was pivotal to human history. It was. Townhall.com article, again, referring back to it, says, the People's House, yeah, that's the White House, has featured most recently shirtless biological men identifying as women, flaunting themselves on sacred ground and drawing attention not to God but to themselves. The most visible declaration from the Biden White House on Easter 2024 was not, he is risen, but rather, look at me. Holy Week, though, has reclaimed its dignity. Gone are the cheap theatrics of political agendas masquerading as progress. In their place is reverence in scripture and prayer and humility. Here's an amazing quote for you. I love this quote. I'm going to read it verbatim. I wish I had written this myself. Townhall.com, Kevin McCullough wrote this. He said, instead of drag queens and narcissistic influencers, we're seeing solemn observance. Instead of the glorification of confusion and chaos, we're witnessing a national moment of reflection. Last year it was about exposed body parts. This year it's about exposed hearts. Wow. He said, the message is clear. America's returning to God. And it's not just the events themselves. I mean, you can look at things like the other day, I even pointed it out. I saw it on TV. Caroline Leavitt, who is the press secretary for the White House, the video caught her praying with her staff before she walked out to take, she was praying for wisdom and the right words before she walked out to stand in front of the nation and the press to answer questions. Wouldn't you rather have somebody that took it serious enough to where they actually not only knew the information and ingrained it so they could speak without reading a notebook, but they prayed about what they were going to say before they said it? And I'll say this too. I heard my pastor say one time, in the middle of a sermon, he just kind of stopped and he goes, what if I'm wrong? And the whole room kind of sat up and looked at him. He goes, what if I'm wrong? What if it turns out, what if I die and there's no heaven? And of course, I'm thinking, this is a weird sermon. He said, if that happens, what have I lost? He said, because right now I am an adherent to a faith that asked me to be faithful to my wife, to be loyal to my friends, to have a strong work ethic, to be a good steward of that which I'm placed in, to have kindness over viciousness, to have the ability to send a kind word and to care about people. And he went on and labeled all the things that Christianity stands for and to pursue wisdom. And he basically said, so I believe that when I die, my eternal reward is going to be heaven, but I also believe that while I'm here on earth, the things that the Christian faith calls for are better for us in general anyway. Wouldn't you rather have a president whose press secretary prays before she walks out? That's my point. Consider the man at the center of the Easter, Jesus. He didn't rage, he didn't riot, he didn't retaliate. When mocked, he stayed silent. When tortured, he endured it. When crucified, he forgave. And that hope stands in stark contrast to the message we were given a year ago when the White House was preoccupied with celebrating delusion and division. Easter was stripped of its majesty by the White House last year. And he says, America's not perfect. We are still divided, still hurting, still wandering. But this Holy Week, there is a whisper calling us home. And maybe, he says, just maybe, if we return to the foot of the cross like that thief did, we'll find what we've been missing all along. Forgiveness, purpose, and real hope. Listen, when we get back, I'll finish this segment up by telling you about some of the things the Trump White House is actually going to be doing this week. I mean, like, they're actually making events this week. I would love to be up there for this. Hey, Mr. President, you got a seat? I'd like to be there. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Exclusive to Fox News is a list of the things that the White House is going to be doing for this Easter Holy Week. So, piece came out yesterday afternoon. The White House is gearing up for an extraordinary celebration for Holy Week ahead of Easter, with President Donald Trump participating in a number of events to celebrate and honor the holiday, quote, with the observance it deserves, end quote. By the way, if you may recall, Trump actually established the White House Faith Office. So this is not going to be the last time you're going to see faith in the White House, Christian faith. The office released a presser saying, we will distribute a Holy Week proclamation, a special presidential video message, and host a pre-Easter dinner and a White House staff Easter service. It'll be a time of special prayer and worship at the White House to be shared with Americans celebrating the week leading up to Resurrection Sunday. And I'd go into more of it, but I will say this. The Easter dinner Wednesday evening, I would love to be there for that. The dinner will feature hymns from the Marine Corps Band, Christian opera by singer Charles Billingsley, prayers and remarks from President Trump, and on Thursday, the president will be hosting a worship service at the White House with Paula White, the Reverend Franklin Graham, Pastor Greg Laurie, and Pastor Jensen Franklin with prayer, scripture, service, and communion. I mean, this is, and an ensemble from Liberty University performing worship music. I mean, that's just, wow. Wow. But you know what's neat, though? I think the president is not just living out the faith he claims in his own right. He's also reflecting a trend that studies are showing is national. Pew Research, I got a piece came out from Daily Signal yesterday. Pew Research did a recent poll, and they say that Gen Z and millennials are showing an absolute increase in people in America who identify as Christians now. Barna actually released a study also showing that 66% of all U.S. adults say they've made a personal commitment to Christ, and it's still important in their life today. And that's a 12 percentage point increase since 2021. It made a note that those in their 20s and 30s, the Gen Zs and millennials, are the sharpest increase. We're seeing it also in Great Britain, where Britons who attend church have surged by 50% over the past 6 years.
Can I just say, as a Gen Zer, I 100% am seeing that too.
Are you?
Yes. I'm seeing a lot, especially Gen Z guys, a big uptick in Orthodox Christianity in particular, which is interesting. But yes, I'm very much seeing more and more outspokenness in people, because Gen Zers are looking for something above themselves to, you know, get into. And so I've seen, especially amongst guys around my age, Orthodox Christianity's seen a major uptick.
That's huge. That's encouraging.
Yes.
It also points out, and it's not just in those who claim it. It's also, there's an organization called the American Bible Society. One of their head guys was on a Tony Perkins podcast this past week, and he said that their studies indicate that there's been a 19% increase in people who claim to be reading their Bible on a regular basis. And not just men, but men who are millennials. So the millennial generation, again, is the one who's causing the spike, and that's nothing but huge. And I'm glad of it.
I think it's just a response to the constant, you know, going against Christianity. It's almost like the younger generation is God speaking to the younger generation in that way of opening their eyes a little bit of, you know, it's not just miserable being, you know, there's something above yourself you can, you can believe in. So I agree 100%.
And, you know, you look back at some of the great stories in Scripture. Josiah, he was in his 20s. When he changed the nation, he brought everybody back to God. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, coming up next, Military Minded. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.